say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to a very, once again, echoey and al dente version of Creepypasta, because everything I do is a little turgid. It's Brent with Hysteria 51 coming from the road. Once again, I am in a very, very untreated room in parts unknown Tennessee right now, waiting on my new studio to get done. But I'm not alone, as you guys know. Thankfully, the bots are still back in Chicago, keeping the fort down or burning it down. I don't know. I feel bad for Kyle, because he's with Conspiracy Bot. But we do have a creepy tether, I guess you could call it, this week to parts unknown Colorado. Mr. David Flohr, what's going on, sir?
Hello, hello.
How goes in your parts of the world? What's the weather like there? We've had like upper 80s here in Tennessee.
Well, got an inch of snow last night.
Are you serious?
It's already melted, though. It's back up to the 40s.
What is it like living in, what's the word I'm looking for? A shithole. No.
That's terrible.
I just can't imagine getting snow right now. That's crazy. I'm wearing shorts. My air wasn't working because they were working on it.
It was up to June before everything melted last year.
Oh, thank God.
It's got a pretty good head start this year. Thank you, climate change.
Right now, yeah. I'm making fun of it. Everyone's going to be living in your neck of the woods here in a decade or so. That's the way that goes. Yeah.
Good luck finding good water.
Well, you know, it's all artesian. It might be stinky and have hair in it, but it's artesian. Artesian the drinking water.
Thing you got to worry about around here is the runoff from the old mines. So there's a lot of carcinogenic crap
that
comes out of
mines.
Shut down mines.
What are you guys doing this weekend? I'm exploring the old mines with my prospecting friends. Yeah, we're going to get ourselves a good time. We're going to go down there with my pants.
And then we're going to come home and craft.
And then I'm going to get into my Range Rover and take my children to private school. Yay.
People don't go to school around here, man.
What was I thinking?
That's a thing, and this is the state of education. Kids, like, school is maybe 5th to 10th on their list.
Oh, wow.
It's skiing first, sports of any other type second.
Yeah.
Just fucking around third.
That's high on my list.
And maybe education sneaks in there.
I'm glad you actually said that, because I think it's a perfect segue. Speaking of no education and, you know, just dregs of society, we do have a returning guest this week.
His name is...
Hi.
Hey, I heard my bumper. I didn't hear what you said about me before. Could you let me know?
Oh, I was just talking about how you have a lot in common with the fine people of Colorado. I think that was
Whoa.
The takeaway, wasn't that it, David? That's how it goes?
That's what I got from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
And
wow,
if you
got to
get
honored,
anything from Colorado, it's that takeaway, not the HIV or any of the other stuff that you can get in Colorado hanging out around.
I see.
Just letting you know.
Well, I'm wearing jorts and just fucking around.
I'm not
going to
lie to you.
My list.
I just ordered a pair of jorts. First ones in, like, I don't know, 15 years. They're on their way.
You're not going to wear those to the old mine, are you?
Well, you know, I'm going to wear them. I'm going to wear them with my prospecting friends.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Jortin' Around the Mine. We've got Brent and Kevin here with me.
Yeah, and old Cecil.
And on the keys is Denny Donald. I don't even know what that fucking means.
Kevin, what's going on in your world? Anything new?
Denim Donald. Nothing. Well, you know.
Nothing.
Keeping on. I'm still hosting Good Old Sad Times.
Yeah.
And got a great new episode out as we record with a with a gentleman who had a book called Sad Happens, worth checking out. And yeah, sadtimespodcast.com. And then I'm getting ready to do a little professional summer theater.
Ooh, what are you doing?
I'm doing two musicals. I'm doing Hello Dolly and The Prom, which is good because I never went to my high school prom.
Which is a lot better than last summer when he told me he was doing some theater and then he was just spitting the sign out outside of the local Quiznos.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, that's my art, Brent.
When last summer when he did The Prom, which was just going to around to different high schools and creeping.
Hey, ladies.
Where I sat with Kelly Kapowski and Zach Morris on the bench outside of the prom and had my own special prom.
That's the way that goes.
Mm.
Speaking of special proms, nothing to do with this week's topic. But I wanted to cover this one because we, as we're traveling, we were trying to do some lighter fare and we were going through some of the articles that people had sent us, some that we'd pulled, and we have a whole bunch of them on creepypasta. One of them actually a really good one called The History of Creepypasta from Medium. And as you know, if you've sent me stuff before, I have told people and I've always said, we don't do creepypastas. We don't do them because they're just made up. But then David was like, yeah, but what do you think about folklore? Like, what do you think that is? And I'm like, ah, crap. Like, you know, like, and don't use your brain. That's, you know, that does make sense. And folklore is passed down, you know, from person to person through story. So are creepypastas in their own way. They're just done through the way we communicate now, which is through the computer. David, you've done a lot of looking at folk tales and folklore and things like that. What makes a good folklore or folktale, first off, and then how do they compare to creepypastas as you understand them?
Who, let's see. What makes a good folklore? Probably the first couple songs on there is pretty good. I think Tay Tay really knocked it out of the park there with the 8th studio.
Oh, hey, okay. Hey, I Courtney Love says she's nothing to even care about. So you knock it off.
Name one Courtney Love song. That's what I say.
I told Doll Kevin parts. Earlier, we were talking about that. And I said, the nice thing is, if you look up, I bet the Google searches for who the hell is Courtney Love are up 3,900%. You know, from anyone under 30 years old.
A kind of a gross person. Always have. I don't know. Anyways.
She's not that gross. She's just cover her in bleach. You know, that's fine.
She was good in The People versus Larry Flint.
She was.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. She played the no, never mind. Going
through. Yeah, so, you know, folklore is it's a fascinating thing because it's basically all the fun stuff of a culture. It's not just a story or a character or something. It's a bunch of things. It could be jokes. It could be sayings. Of course, you've got the myths and legends, you know, of a particular culture and the characters, but it's all this difference. You could even throw like dance styles and stuff in there. It's just,
yeah, I know. I always throw in dance.
You got to. So that's mostly because you have to pee all the time, but
that is true.
folklore is a lot of stuff, and it's really cool because it's kind of the stuff you can't pin down otherwise. And it all has to do with a culture's just how much they keep throwing in the soup. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which brings us to what we're talking about with this, which is kind of like the new age of folklore.
Yeah.
For folks now and cultures, it's this digital folklore because now we have a different medium to share mm-hmm. stories and come up with new characters, and you know it's a way to disseminate information, mm-hmm. And it's kind of exciting to like see it in real time and recognize what's happening and all right. that. You know what I mean?
I thought it was interesting because in the past I was like, we're not going to do creepypasta because we know they're fake. Well, half the stuff that we cover is probably fake right. in one way or another. What are you going to say there, Kevin? Were you going to?
Oh, I was just agreeing, but then I became very angry. What do you mean it's fake? No, I believe all the stuff that is talked about on this show.
But you know, it's interesting because, like you said, these are the way that things are covered, and then you have people going out and committing, you know, atrocities because of these things. And one man's trash is another man's creepypasta, I guess. And it's interesting because they came on strong in the early, like, 2010s, and people really liked them. And then you had this younger generation. I was reading this online. They were talking about they kind of fell off because the younger kids started writing and telling their own, and they were terrible because they weren't old enough to understand how to craft a story. And people got into this whole thing of fuck creepypastas and making fun of them. And I think that's where I fell on the whole side of things. And now some more time's gone by and they're creeping back in and they're getting some more things. And you have stuff like the SCP Foundation, Secure, Contain, Protect. And we're going to get into some of that stuff here in a bit. But Kevin, I reached out to you before we did this one. What was your, you weren't really into creepypastas. You didn't know them a lot before starting some of this research, did you?
That's right. I'd heard of it. And the main, my entry into creepypasta, and I think it's, if I may bring up a creepypasta.
Of course.
Was good old Slender Man.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of people who aren't familiar. That's the, well, I know Slender Man kind of thing.
And I clicked on it thinking it was like a Atkins diet thing, but it was actually...
And you've also stabbed several children 19 times, so...
I told you not...
You tell me a lot of things.
You broke that rule.
I was on HBO, I guess it's Max now, but it was HBO then, and there's a documentary about Slender Man, and I was like, what the hell is this? So I clicked on it, and I was like, oh, this is a weird little online thing, and then all of a sudden... girls are stabbing other little girls. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? And so I was like, wow. To David's point, you know, we have this folklore and stuff, but it's really frightening when something that is horror based, as a lot of these creepypastas are, somehow make their way into our real world everyday life.
Well, the Slender Man, you know, we're going to get into this some of these others, but it's originated in a... there was a Something Awful Photoshop competition. This guy made a bunch of children on a playground and the Slender Man in the background. And it was like such and such a library, you know, just like a local photo. And people were just like, yep, and ran with it. And that is what is great about, you know, well, these come off of, you know, a lot of Reddit, a lot of 4chan, stuff like that, is people just go, I want to piggyback off of it. And it's not stealing, you know, you take something and you make it your own in your own way, and that's a lot of fun, and that's what it is. And even folklores, Kevin, you had a way of talking about it. Like, what do you say, like, a folklore is, and it has to do with creepypastas before? You said something about, like, passing a note.
Yeah, you know, it's like this. When I was bored in high school, or my friends were, we would start a story in a class and we'd each write one sentence. So a man went to the store, passed it to somebody else, right? Yeah. This passes the time in school when you should be learning about, you know, things. And you build a story together. So it's like a group. It just made me, when I was reading about and researching this, it made me think about this whole group idea of creating stories, which again, very much is folklore.
Right. And then you also get, not to be confused, that a little bit of the telephone game, too, is one person tells a story and another one runs with it and changes it. And then they change it a little bit, you know, and they make it their own. Now, the telephone game's a little bit different, but it adapts and changes over time, these things. And I think it's a lot of fun. We're going to get into that a little bit more. Let's go to break real quick. And when we come back, we're going to talk this medium story, the history of creepypasta, and break down a few of those. That's coming up after this break on Hysteria 51. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and we have, both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long-term, and it's something that it works, you know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this, and this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get now. Started. For a very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rashate, you're 50% off. Rashate. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today.
All right, did you guys get your creepypastas ready? I told you to write beforehand that I'm just making up right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Perfect.
Can I go first?
Yes, please do.
All right, mine is called Fat Man. And
he's very short. And he
he's very short and very wide and has no tentacles. Thank you. Thank you. It feels good to be creative again.
Yeah, I can see. So the jumping off for this whole thing for me was this, the history of creepypasta, and it's a Medium article, and you can find links to it. And it talks about the beginning of this all kind of started with the invention of the internet. Back in the day, there was all these, you remember bulletin board sites and things like that? And really, text-based talking to one another was how you got stuff going. And that was, you know, 80s and 90s. And, you know, people were sending chain emails. And then you hear someone didn't answer this and they died. You know, stuff like that. And you laugh
forward,
and it's
forward,
true.
Forward, forward.
People still do that.
Oh, man.
How many of you have read this week, I am putting this on Facebook so that the owners of Facebook and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and, you know that they can no longer use my, you know, this stuff, that because someone told them that if you did this, it saves you from legal issues with Facebook because they're old or just out of touch and don't know how the world works. Well, what if you, like, think that's hilarious and are posting those also? You know what I mean? Like, and that's kind of where you get this gray area. And don't you feel like that's a lot of that with, like, creepypastas and folklore is, if you're in the know is when it's fun.
Yeah.
Definite amazing drop in there, gentlemen.
Thank you. I was just too busy thinking about chain letters. Remember those? Chain emails. And then it got me thinking about Christopher Pike, who wrote two books about chain letters.
He was also an amazing captain of the Enterprise.
Yeah. Did he write that from his wheelchair? Or?
I don't know. I was not there. but chain letters were a big thing way back in the day. And
yeah.
I don't really remember. It was something you got in your mailbox and it said, you need to send this on to somebody or
yeah. send this to 12 people or your dog's going to get herpes, you know, that stuff.
Is that what happened to Grayson?
It sure is. But he's the one I used to give other dogs herpes.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
This article, the one thing that I really liked about it is, they did the tear down trying to find out, and they say that the first true beginning that anyone can find to what they call a real creepypasta is a story called Ted the Caver. And the photo if you go to the Medium article, will give a lot of you the creeps because it's someone like spelunking and they are absolutely like unable to move inside of a cave. And it's a real photo. And it just talks about this guy who went through, you know, these caverns and trying to get through this cave and worse stuff until, you know, at the end you assume he died. And that was kind of the first one. And that was way back in 2001, I think it said.
Yeah.
So that's kind of years before these kind of caught on. But I love that, just like in this one, there's one photo, you know, and it really sends it home. And like Slender Man, this is the article. This article here has that photo, the first photo, the original images from the Photoshop contest. And it says, city of, what is that? Sterling Libraries, local studies collection. And he's just in the background and he's not even doing anything bad. He's just standing there.
It's almost like he almost looks like he's making balloon animals for those children.
It's like
in the
back. Dude from Phantasm is there checking on his grandchildren for this one day. You know, the tall man. I don't know.
Yeah, he's just a dude giving out like dance ribbons or something for the kids. He's like, here you go, here you go. Now go run and play.
He goes back to tell his buddy. He's like, I tried to talk to the children and they didn't want to talk to me.
Don't give up. You've got kindness in your heart.
they all got to stick together. So, all these weirdos.
I have to point out, though, I feel like when I covered this on my show, you know, years back, I feel like I found different photos than this.
So this is the first supposedly one, but then they ran
that's
with,
what, yeah.
You know, like, so this is the one
I
that
feel
this
like
guy
the
found.
Others said they were the first photos.
Oh, I bet
know?
So, right? Now, you know, at least with photos and the Wayback Machine and stuff, sometimes you look into that, but I'm sure there are a lot of people looking into this. But the Slender Man, and the thing that I thought was interesting is Kevin was like, you know, I'd heard of the Slender Man because of there was the girls, the Slender Man stabbing. Two 12-year-old girls in Waukesha, Wisconsin, lured their best friend in the woods and stabbed her 19 times in an attempt, they said, to please the fictional character, the Slender Man, because he stands there in the background in a photo, so obviously he wants 19 stabbings. That's just the way it goes. The girl survived, and the other two were sentenced to 20 and 40 fucking years in the psych ward. How do you go from the reading it online to stabbing someone? Like, how do you guys think, like, literally, how does that happen?
Is it the same? It's a story that these girls read. Did they believe it first?
That's
and
what
foremost?
I'm getting at. Like, and obviously, we're talking about a psych ward. Like, did they really believe it? Did they blame it? But they got, you know, they're in a psych ward, so do with that what you will.
And I believe there were two girls who did it, and there was one who was more of a ringleader than the other one, and that one was just denied early release. Actually,
oh, really?
I believe. Yeah. About 10 years now.
Well, thank God, geez. Right? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, even though the girl didn't die, can you imagine?
And this was their best friend, or that's how it's described.
Right.
Like, hey, come in the woods for a second.
That's the thing. They were 12 years old, though. You know, and I look back at when I was 12, like, how do you make that leap? That, well, you do, I guess, when you're not wired right, you know?
I guess.
I don't know, man. I think it's got to be it, because, like, just trying to think of what would have been the same thing when we were growing up. What could have, you know, you what know, like, were we convinced of that?
Well, remember the stories of, you know, the hook in the door, the calls coming from inside the house, you know, your dad actually loves you, all that fucking bullshit that people just, you know, propagated on you as a child.
But I still feel like that's arm's length from believing it.
Right.
You know, like oh, that is spooky, and yeah, maybe that can happen, but I'm not going to go out and like hunt down the hook guy.
I was, you know, hooking. Just, I went out one night trying to hunt down the hook guy, but some guy kept brighting me from behind. Like every time I'd be driving down the road, he'd turn his brights on. So I just went back home.
Every time I asked people, where's the hooker? They're like, dude, what are you? You're too young for that.
Is Slender Man, is it too simple to say it can be diluted down to just another version of the boogeyman?
Yeah, it's a modern day boogeyman, right? All these on this stuff. The rake is one. The science experiment, the sleep experiment, or whatever thing. Jeff the Killer, like they're all like different flavors of boogeymen.
Yeah, interesting enough, Jeff the Killer is another one I'm glad you brought up. It's a kid, you know. He supposedly, you know, he had his brother had taken the rap for some stuff. He was bullied. He got lit on fire. So he did the normal thing and cut a smiley face into his face and his eyelids off so he could never sleep again, and murdered his family. And it is the worst fucking Photoshop photo.
It's
the
horrible. Killer.
And I thought this was interesting. He talked about doing research. Girls online, young girls, would talk about how they found him attractive. And it says, it's not just Jeff the Killer's literary prowess that got him into the level of fame, but rather teen girls' attraction to the physical character, fictional character. And they, you know, they were talking about how they just identified with him. What the fuck is that about?
Brent, you sent the Wikipedia page to a list of some of these creepypastas, just so we could reference them. And they have a different picture of this, but it's, you know, clearly an illustration of this Jeff the Killer. And it's got this like emo boy, like maybe Japanese manga type of
the
hair. Character.
Yeah.
And I think, like, to me, that's what they're falling in love with, is all these like Rule 34 shit about this character. They're not, I don't think girls are in love with, like, you know, killing people or whatever, but there's this idea that he stood up to bullies.
Yeah.
And then he looks like, you know, a hot Japanese teen or something.
With no eyelids and a burnt face. But yes.
You know, even this doesn't really look like a burnt face. It just looks, you know, there's a slight creepy smile.
It looks
smile
like a weird,
and hollow
almost
eyes
like,
but it's mostly the hair.
Right.
And that beautiful hoodie.
Yeah, and in a hoodie. Girls love greasy, moppy hair. And by girls, I mean girls. Like teens. You remember that gif of the that goat? And they're like, oh, look who, you know, this is what girls like or whatever. And it's like a goat with moppy hair buck teeth.
The other one that's a photo that a lot of people have seen, the rake, which if you go to the creepypasta, that is not the photo of the rake. That's just an archaic. You know, the rake is another, it's almost kind of like the Slender Man. It's just a nondescript thing that's supposed to have sharp claws and looks weird. And if you Google the rake or look it up online, it's very, it's
a
white monster.
A lot of Home Depot links and stuff. Some are on sale.
Right?
Well, I was going to go with True Value, but
the famous photo with this, and I'm going to circle back to a point here in a minute, but like the famous photo for the rake is the thing that's sitting on the edge of the bed and kind of looking over its shoulder at you. That, and it's like gray and hairless and has a big, you know, toothy mouth.
God damn it, Grandma! It's not
your
room.
What I mean? Like that's what pops up, and so I think a lot of these creepypastas, if they are to be successful, they need some kind of picture to go along with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And
because it is imagination, but it certainly helps imagination when you see something that fucking creepy.
I find it easy to use my imagination also when it's already done for me.
I'll give you another one. Have you guys seen the one of the giant, horrible looking female humanoid thing that's crawling through the window and like eating someone off their bed?
Yes. Yep.
Like the jaw is elongated and unhinged and the person's like in their mouth. That's all this is. Like, which came first, a story about it and then the picture, or this picture and then it inspired all these stories?
Man,
what a horrible idea to think that you could just undo your jaw and swallow a person.
Yeah, through a window.
Now, if you guys have ever listened...
That's what gets me. Guys, don't eat stuff through windows.
You're going to cut your mouth.
If it's handed to you through a window or if you have to go through a window, either way, it's probably bad for your arteries. the one that I love every time I think of these after working with Kevin for so long. Kevin, I hate to make fun of you, but as a child.
Do you?
But here we go.
Kevin, I hate to make fun of you, but no, I don't. As a child, Kevin thought that he was going to lose his hearing. Why?
I was afraid I was going to lose my hearing because I thought I was going to, I was afraid I was going to stick my head in a tornado siren.
Why? Was he even around tornado sirens? Did he have access to them? No. That's just something that his head did. Well, we got Siren Head, which is a giant Slenderman with a siren. And he goes around.
Kevin, I like that you knew your limits then, though.
I'm capable
of something like this.
Dude, if Siren Head was around when I was five, would have fucking lost my shit.
Yeah, it's just like a giant slender monster with a tornado siren for a head. And sometimes he's depicted eating people. Sometimes he's just playing the radio. Sometimes he's playing moaning and screaming. Sometimes, much, much worse, he is playing Ted Nugent. So, you know, you never know what you're going to get. I like to think that...
he's got a stranglehold on my imagination. Could you imagine this big, giant thing picking me up and just feeding my head in, and then I just lose all my hearing? Brent, why didn't you warn me about this? Yeah. I didn't know this was going to be a part of it, man. You really fucked me up.
Or it could be even different, though. He leans down next to you and he goes, "Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Conway Twitty," and you have the fucking night of your life. Just listen to "Hello, darling."
When nice I'm wearing those tight-fitting jeans.
You know, you're going to be, by the end of the day, you got a pompadour and there ain't an 80-year-old woman with a wet set of, with a dry set of trousers in a three-county area. Because he just did some. I like to think that Conway Twitty is the reason why they had to have all that plastic on their furniture, but that's just for a different tight-fitting jeans. Anyway, Kevin, I just cannot think of Siren Head and not think of...
When I came across it during the research, I was like, ugh. Yeah.
All right. We're going to go back to break real quick. When we come back, one of the that we've talked about in the past on here, which is, it sounds so crazy, and then it has such a mundane answer to it. So that, and what are we looking for in the future and stuff? That's coming up after this on Hysteria 51. I got dog aggro and come through the door here. Anyway, the one that we did talk about when we were talking about weird stories was the Russian sleep experiment. Sum that one up for us if you're familiar with it. And then David and I'll tell you the true sleep experiment or sleep deprivation.
Oh boy. Yeah, it's a story about political prisoners, you know, in Soviet Russia, who were kept in rooms and basically not allowed to sleep at all. They would use a gas to prevent the sleep, and these people, you know, turned into zombie-like monsters, they say. They just decide to kill them all. I guess they got out of control or something.
But. Because that's what happens when you go without sleep for, and it was like something like 7 days or something like that. It wasn't even like
a super that'll fuck long. You up.
I know, right. You know, but it was just kind of crazy that, you know, how they do it. Then you have Randy Gardner, who once stayed up for like 11 fucking days. The record, how long did he stay up here? I don't want to get it wrong. 11 days, 24 minutes, in 1964. They don't allow him to do anymore, but the current record, is 18 days, 21 hours, no sleep. And they're just like, yeah, I'm pretty tired. You know, it sucks. But they're not like, oh man, feed me the flesh of my fucking children, you know, and they're cutting their eyes.
They're saying that to like the Mad Hatter from Alice in Wonderland because he's sitting right next to them, you know.
Exactly.
Really, they're just alone in a cement room.
Yeah, it said that extreme deprivation of sleep had little effect other than mood changes associated with tiredness.
Got it.
You know, it's just, you know, you get like kind of groggy and loopy, you know. It wasn't like you're like, and now I've eaten my own flesh, you know. But that's the part of a creepypasta that makes it fun, right? Is how you package these things.
I guess.
What'd you say?
I said, I mean, I guess it is the packaging.
Yeah.
Really.
You know, and you got a lot of these that are, you know, the game ones, you know, with the the Sonic.exe, and there's all these stories.
Yeah, these were fascinating to me.
Garage sale, and I bought, you know, Zelda. And, and unlike when Kevin came to my house and played my childhood
I was
Zelda,
about to bring that up.
Were you really?
Yeah, I was playing Zelda, and for anybody who's ever played Zelda, you know, you can, there, I think there are three spots where you can save a game. And you put a name in there. So I'm just pulling it up, getting ready to play.
This
and
is my,
Brent
like,
is in
my
the other
childhood
room.
Game. Yeah.
Yeah. And what did it say? Anal Al?
Anal Al.
What's the name of the save game? And I just started laughing. Brent's like, what? And I was like, Anal Al? And then he started laughing.
I haven't changed a lot since childhood.
Anal no, you haven't. Cover.
An album cover. But you know, they have all these ones where, like, you know, that's what they say, like, oh my god, this guy, he really wanted me to buy this game, and then I took it home and my dog ate himself, you know, when I was playing it. Like, these weird subgenres of this stuff. And there, you know, there's been games made, you know, there's Slender Man games. The story of Polybius, you know, is kind of a creepypasta in and of itself. Supposedly the government made a game, and you know, if you played it, you went crazy, and the FBI was checking on you and stuff, and then they took it out, and really we were able to find the, you know, where it was first came up, and spoiler alert, it wasn't around in the 80s, but that stuff, you know. But those are the fun ones when people aren't quite sure. Yeah. You know.
Yeah,
well, yeah, it's just believable enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
To get to be like legendary.
Yeah.
I also enjoy this Sonic the Hedgehog, the Sonic.exe photo here. And it first off, Sonic has glowing red eyes and his eyes are bleeding.
Yep.
And then it says copyright Sega 666.
Sonic the Hedgehog, just in a pool of blood.
That's.
So this is kind of cool. I wanted to get to this. So they talk about in this Medium article, the legacy and how it's kind of progressing. They said the greatest example of evolution. I'm just going to read this part because I want to get it right. The greatest example of the evolution of Creepypasta's legacy is its sister project, SCP. The SCP project is an online collaborative writing project centered around the clandestine SCP Foundation. Secure, Contain, Protect, and Special Containment Procedures, where people go on and they write these stories, and they give it a little bit like it's true, and they give you these writing prompts about containing these creepy monsters and pastas. And they have one photo, and Kevin, you said it like shook you for some reason.
Gave me the fear, man.
It looks like a side of beef, like that, you know, they get that weird like colors on it, and a baby doll had sex with a margarita pizza.
It also looks like it would be at home on a cover of a Dinosaur Jr. record.
Oh my god.
It's this thing, and it's like pushing against the wall, and it also looks like it's made of wood.
Yeah.
And it also looks like someone had like a nuclear ass slap on it.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. It does, and I was going to say it has dumps like a truck.
Well, I was just going to say that Kevin once played mandolin for Nuclear Ass Slap when we were in college. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Well, we're still in litigation, but yes, that's right.
You know, it's just cool that you see these things are still going on, and they're not dead. They're evolving past the decline of these, you know, I saw a monster and he wanted my Crayolas. And people are like, I don't want to read this, you know, because children were doing it. And
the best thing that can be taken from this, at least from my view, is the creativity of it,
yeah.
Right? And people are putting, as long as they're not leading people to kill people or whatever, they're using their creativity in maybe a productive way that also can build community. Like that's, I think that's the really positive way to look at it, but I think creativity here is a really cool thing.
Right, and the sad part is, if you ever do have a real encounter with something, don't be like, I gotta tell someone, better go to Reddit, because that's how you just get on the creepypastas and stuff. No, seriously, the guy had no eyes, and they were bleeding, though, somehow. And it said, copyright Sega 666. Yeah, sure it did. Why don't you believe me? Dumb now. What do you guys...
I agree. Like, it's there's a great creative aspect to this, and just like, you know, what you were saying, Kevin, about passing the sentence at a time story around, like, that's a great crowdsourced story, you know. It's you get just kind of like infinite creativity because you've got so many different brains working on it.
Yeah.
And these, you know, these are also famous. Of course, I don't know if we said it or not, Brent, but creepypasta comes from the copy paste.
Yeah.
Of back in the day where they would take a story, copy it, paste it, and then riff on it. When it went to the horror genre, it became this creepy pasta. Instead of copy pasta. But so like there's this great creative element to it, but you'll also read that, I don't know, half to more than half of these are so terribly written that they are, it's just garbage for your eyes. Like you get an infection reading them.
That's why it's best to read the summed up versions and let someone else, you know.
Right.
And that's kind of what's cool with these writing prompts with this SCP. And you know, all this stuff is like, it's someone's putting stuff together and, finding the best ones and putting stuff out, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to see.
Yeah.
You know,
and kind of going back to David's point about folklore, and Brent, I think you were expanding on this too, about how everything is, so you take something that inspires you and you make it something new. There's another creepypasta thing that was on this Wikipedia page called The Backrooms. And I had never heard of this, but it says PC Gamer compared The Backrooms' various levels to H.P. Lovecraft's R'lyeh. So it's actually referencing one of the understood to be masters of horror.
Yeah.
And now it's taking it one step further on the internet.
Well, you know, if you want to see maybe not the master of horror, but a baby doll wooden with a smacked ass, SCP-173, you can get an SCP plush toy for $19.99 on Amazon, Kevin.
Wow.
Really?
Yes, and I'm going to send the link to you gentlemen here, and I'll even include that in the Facebook thing, so you guys can, or not the Facebook.
Oh, boy.
Facebook, I'm opening Facebook as I speak. I'm going to put it in the show notes so you guys can buy it at home and send me photos of you with your SCP-173 dolls.
When did the SCP thing start, did we say?
That's a good question. Did it say in here?
This thing is terrifying.
When did SCP... I love the pause as we're typing. 2007.
Okay.
The SCP Foundation originated in the paranormal forum of 4chan, and then now it's kind of went on from there. So,
yeah,
been around for a while, but probably in different, not exactly what it is now.
So that's 10 years after the movie Men in Black.
Yeah.
I just, for some reason, I can't help but tie the idea of this thing to that movie franchise.
Yeah.
That's basically what they're doing on there, right? Like, I mean, in a little bit different, like this SCP thing seems like it's almost a prison for anomalous things.
Right.
But
they keep them, you know, so that the real world doesn't know about them.
But that's the Men in Black MO as well, right? Like they protect from basically aliens, but
right.
It's kind of the same thing, only a different like cryptids instead of aliens or something.
Yeah, you know,
I think that's a good point.
Go ahead, Kevin. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying I was agreeing with David. I think that's a good point.
Kevin,
isn't it weird? I mean, I think a lot of this stuff is inspired by other stuff, and right. It just continues to grow and snowball. I do have to point out that I think this Medium article, I really lost a lot of respect for Medium with this article, because this is like from some kid's blog or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a good put together thing. But yeah, the name, do you see who wrote it or who put it together?
Fintastic.
Fintastic.
Who looks like but Jeff blog. The Killer. But I mean, the illustration, obviously, but like, yeah, it was kind of, I'm sorry. I sound like a real dick. I am, but, it was pretty poorly written. And I was like, this is Medium.
No,
like,
so Medium, it is poorly pretty... written. The reason I went to this is I thought it was a good, they had good,
sure. I'm not, I'm
stuff
not
put together
you or anything.
No, and that's
I'm
why
more,
I didn't
like,
want to read it.
That Medium is just kind of like a vessel for people's blogs now. I don't know.
This is 4 years old. It was during COVID, so maybe they were like, please.
Maybe. I mean, so the dude maybe can drink now. I don't know. The guy who wrote this. So great. Hopefully his grammar has evolved too.
Little do you know, somewhere listening to this is like Stephen King, and that's his head name. He's like, you motherfucker.
You know, I don't think I didn't think this was a meta thing. Like, after seeing a bunch of, you know, what I would consider mistakes in writing, I was like, oh, this is meta because the dude's writing it like a creepypasta is written.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of them are very poorly written. But then I was like, no, surely they would have something where it's like, hey, this is meant to be this way.
What I didn't want to tell you guys and what you're missing is... When I opened this, my computer said I had to share this with a few hundred thousand people or I was going to die in 7 days. So that's what we're doing now.
I see.
It's saving my life. So thank you.
Well, at least there's a reason, as poor as it is.
Poor is right.
But sorry, I'm really, like, I understand I'm being a dick to this author of this and everything, but it's, I really am more commenting on the fact that I thought Medium was a little bit more stringent or
yeah,
you know, highbrow or something like that.
All good. I got a request for our listeners, since we're dipping our
Get
toe into
rid
this
of David Floor.
Since we're dipping our toe into this whole creepypasta stuff, what is one you're like, there's a little bit more to that one? Let us know if there's one you're like, I really want to dig into this one. Maybe not Slender Man because of the killings, which is fine if that's what you want, but like, let us know if you're like, I think you guys really need to look into blah. And you can do that. Send us an email, weird@hysteria51.com, weird@hysteria51.com. Send us a voicemail, 773-669-7277, though we don't listen to those live or in, you know, we only listen to them live. So that'd be a
Wait,
bad
what?
Way to
Which
request
one?
It. That'd be a bad way to request it.
We don't listen to those live. We only listen to those live.
And just go, hop on Hysteria Nation. If you're on Facebook, go to Hysteria Nation. Search that and you can drop stuff in there. We'd love to hear from you guys, your favorites. And keep the discussion going on there. And while you're discussing things, discuss the Sad Times podcast. How can they do that, sir?
Well, they can listen to it wherever they get their podcast, where it appears, or they can go to www.sadtimespodcast.com. That means World Wide Web, Brent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Keep going. I cut you off there. I just love that you always put in the www.
Just that... In fact, this week, our guest, we talk a lot about creativity, which kind of aligns really well with kind of what we were talking about with the group creativity with Creepypasta. And I hope you're able to listen.
Absolutely. And David, you got anything going on one of your 15,000 podcasts or movies or television shows or whatever the hell you're working on?
I tell you what, if you'd like some more discussion about this, check out blurryphotos.org. And I have a, it's not a, what I'd call a recent episode. It's probably a couple years old now, but it's right in line with what we've been talking about. And it's a digital folklore episode with, nice. Dr. Lynn McNeil.
If you want to ship me the link to this too, I can put a link in the show notes for people. That'd be great. You know, like
supplementary Dr. McNeil, listening. She is awesome, and she's a professor at Utah State University, and she's an expert on folklore. And we talked about all this kind of stuff, this digital folklore that, you know, has taken what we all know as folklore and the tales and stuff, and it's all online now, like we're just talking about here. So she's super knowledgeable, and it's a very fun conversation about all this. So if you want to dive even deeper into this topic, go check that out. Brent can include it, or you can search on Blurry Photos for digital folklore.
Not only is that an amazing guest she had, what an amazing job she has. I teach folklore in college, you know, like that kind of stuff. That is just fantastic. Yeah. What a fun just... I'm jealous. I don't even know what to say. I'm jealous.
Yeah. I bet she'd come on a Hysteria 51 talk about it for sure.
Not after the incident. Great to talk to. Not after the incident we had. No, yeah, actually, we should have her on. That'd be fantastic. Get that ball rolling, sir. There's some work for you. Be like, hey, I need you, Gins.
Gins.
No, that'd be great. Gondor
calls for aid.
So, yeah, guys, Creepypasta, get them in. Let us know your favorites, and we'll do some talking. And with that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
I've been Kevin.
And there's been no conspiracy about
it. It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.